Okay, Shalom, Rabbi Sai. We are in the Chayes Halvav Shah Avodat Elokim Perek Yud Reish Tzadi Zayin. Steve, you fell here unwittingly. If these are a few precious moments to learn, don't feel committed. Oh wow. Ashreinu. Okay. Okay. We're in the middle of discussing the application of the various midas, how all of our sets of opposite midas, how they find their place in our Avodas Hashem. And now we're talking about the examples of Boishet and Azu. Okay, we're on Reish Tzadi Zayin. We discussed Boishet last time, the way he applied the midah of Boishet, which is the midah of shame, is to develop a sense of shame toward Hashem, meaning to feel how, like we said, the Temer Dvaira elaborates it, that anytime you're considering doing something against Hashem, to really sense how at this very moment, let's say you're going to say something that Hashem doesn't like, you think to yourself how Hashem is actually fueling the energy into your tongue while you're talking. And it's like you are taking it from him and throwing it in his face. A person should develop this sense of shame. This is, of course, a sublime madrega of Yediyas Hashem, but this is really the madrega of Shivisi Hashem Lenegdi Tamid, of really sensing that Hashem is there. Mekai Midas HaAzus. When do we use the Midah of Azus, brazenness, chutzpah? If Yiyas HaRishayim, when you encounter Rishayim, V'anchi HaAveiras, V'acholkim HaLoemet, those who are disputing the truth, Bale Avera, to be able to stand up and brazenly speak the truth, brazenly defend the truth. Want an example of Azus de Kedusha? This was the story of Rabbi Chezkel Avramsky. In general, Rabbi Chezkel Avramsky was known for his Azus de Kedusha. But he was one time, he went through a lot in communist Russia, so that was already, after that he could handle anything. But he moved to England, and he became one of the top dayanim in England. And he made a lot of different reforms in the world of Rabbanus. Well, I say reforms, I mean in the other direction, yes? But he made a lot of reforms in the world of Rabbanus, revolutions, and he also made an overhaul of Shechita and Kashrus. And he was sued by a number of butchers who were saying that he's being excessive and he is limiting the Hashgacha in a way that's illegal. So when he appeared in court, you have to know about Rabbi Chezkel Avramsky here, and a few stories about him is very characteristic. He appeared in court and the judge started questioning him. He defended his position. You know, he's justifying halacha to a non-Jewish judge. He defended his position. And they were arguing that the way he was putting it was tenuous and this and that. So the judge said something like, I would like to get the opinion of a top authority, of a top halakhic authority. So Bechezkel Avramsky looked the judge in the eye and said, Your Honor, I am the supreme halakhic authority in Great Britain. So the judge looked at him and said, Rabbi Avramsky, humility. They said, Your Honor, I'm under oath. I didn't say it with a smile. He wasn't being sharp. He was being absolutely honest. But this was his Azus de Kedusha, the brazenness. Okay. Well, it's a voice b'chesed. And to instruct people to do the right thing. Now, this is already a different story. This is, we're not talking about protesting, but sometimes a person feels there's something that should be said. Just feels like, why do I have to be the one to say it? Why do I have to be the one to say it? Well, that's you mean agnus, to tell people to do the right thing, to tell people not to do the wrong thing, right? To you're sitting in a family gathering. The conversation starts going in the wrong direction, right? Starts going in the direction of Lashon Hara. Sitting with, you know, brothers-in-law, cousins. You don't want to be the tzaddik who's going to speak up and say, Rabbi Yisrael, we shouldn't be saying this. But this is what we call applying the midah of Azus. Azus. This is the place for applying the midah of Azus. You can apply the midah of Azus in a gentle way. But it's, again, the one who is ready to stick out his face and brazenly assert himself. And to shame sinners, to be able to stand up and say, this is wrong. To be ready to admonish people of low standing and also people of high standing. To my shekosuv, like it says in the pasuk, Samti fonai kachalamish. I make my face like a flintstone. This is what Yeshaya Hanavi says. Nevi'im often were delivering unpopular messages. And Hanavi had to be a brazen person. I make my face like a flintstone. Thick skin. I won't be embarrassed of anybody. So that's where brazenness, just noting again, that midas, when we talk about a bad midah, it's a misnomer. It's only a question of where do you apply it. A bad midah means a midah that generally should not be applied. But you have to know where it has its place too. The Azus has its place also. As a defender of the truth, as a person who's pushing for the truth, that's where it applies. V'chein shtei midas. This can be in very like innocent and gentle kind of ways. Like I don't like confrontation. I remember one time I was seeing somebody's tefillin were rubbed so brown that it seemed to me that it was mamish puzzle. That was a big test for me. Yes, tell him. Not tell him. What I did was, I had, like, you know, the tefillin paint, the black tefillin paint. I had that in my tefillin bag. So I went over to him and I said to him, you know, I think your tefillin might be problematic. Here, take this paint. And so the guy got all excited. He took a sum of money out of his pocket. He said, here, I want you to buy 5 of them. And whenever you see a problem, you go over to the person and give him paint. What are you getting me into? But you know what? This is another example of sometimes Azus can be in a very gentle, not in like a fighting kind of way, but sometimes you see something that's well-meaning. You know, it's just an issue of you have to point something out to somebody that, you know, this isn't right, that isn't right. It doesn't have to be in an offensive kind of way, but it's something that we don't like to do. Something we don't like to do. You do it in a nice, friendly way. It's also a way of applying the midah of Azus correctly. Right? Going over to somebody and saying, pull the mask up, right? Azus can be done in a nice, friendly way, if necessary. Might be necessary to do a little more. Okay. Achen shtei midas. You have another 2 midas. Hakaas v'haratzon. Anger and appeasement. Yes, when you see things going in the wrong direction. When you see sheker overcoming the truth. So once again, kind of parallel to what we said about brazenness, but this is where you let your kas loose. And the place for appeasement is Ba'pil kol advarim alaf nehem, uba'anichom al mechonem, uba'leches bedarkia emes lahem. When people are settling things back into place, meaning like this. Ka'as has a place. Really, it's a function of what we call kanos. This week's parsha, right? What is ka'as? Well, I'm going to say something, and we're going to have to qualify it. But kas is a strong reaction to something that angers you, right? It shouldn't be used for our own personal issues, right? We should be able to respond to things in a controlled way. But we should take offense on Hashem's behalf. This is what kanos is. Nesiach Yisharim says the kanos is a function of Avas Hashem. It's a function of Avas Hashem. And you feel angered and offended when you see Hashem being offended. That's where your anger comes out. Now, note that still it has to be controlled. We always have to be in control of our anger. But there's room to express it. There's room to give an expression of anger in such cases. It's important to understand that. I was once in yeshiva, there was the usual whole discussion about, wow, yes, flying on Shabbos, not flying on Shabbos. So I was in Mir. In Mir, there were loads of Elal clientele, or at least potential clientele. Who knows how many hundreds of American Bachurim. So a television crew came, staked out near the Mir Yeshiva, and they wanted to ambush American Yeshiva Bachurim and interview them about this. So I remember I was walking by. I was an American Bachurim. But I was walking by, and I saw them interviewing an American at the real American Bachurim look. And he's standing there trying to hide his smile, enjoying being in the spotlight of attention. And I'm thinking to myself, well, yeah, you don't want to, you're dealing with the Israeli media, this is dead news. Whatever the case is, he's standing there, hiding his smile, happy to be in the spotlight of attention. I asked him, would you patronize El Al if they flew on Shabbos? He said, no, I wouldn't. So they explained the question. No, they explained what they meant, just so you should understand. We don't mean, would you fly on Shabbos? We mean, if they were flying on Shabbos, would you fly with them on other days? Ah, okay. I get the question. But he said, no, I wouldn't. So they said to him, why not? So he gave this whole lamdash appeal pool that the reason that El Al deserves my patronage is because they present themselves as the representative of the Jewish state. They represent Jewry. If they represent Jewry, it has to go to Shabbos. Once they're Mechal Shabbos, they don't represent Jewry anymore, and therefore they don't deserve my patronage. Oh, pilpul. I just remember thinking to myself, again, I wasn't going to get anywhere near the cameras, but I just remember thinking to myself, for a minute, there's something so precious here. And the question has to be asked a little differently. If somebody habitually punches your father in the face and then spits on him on Tuesdays, would you give him business on Wednesday? I'm not asking if you'd help him spit on your father. Certainly not. And also, you might not want to give him patronage on Tuesday. But would you give him patronage on Wednesday? I see something like that. I am disgusted, offended. I don't want to have anything to do with the person. This is what the concept of kanos is. It's feeling hurt, kiviyachol. Feeling hurt, kiviyachol, for Hashem. And this is where there's room for kas. Now, having said all that, we still have to understand that it can't just be an instinctive reaction. But this is where kas has its place. Okay? Two more midas. The chen shtei midas, another two midas. Harachamim v'achzorius. Mercy, rachamim, and cruelty. Here again, we have a good midah or a bad midah, but we are rephrasing it. A midah that's applicable 95% of the time, and a midah that's only applicable 3% of the time. So, mekayim rachamim, where is the place for rachamim? Al hadalim, vanim, vacholim, vaposhim in ha'olam. On needy people. Poor people, needy people, the ill, deprived people, mishene makir afnei toivosav, umishene de'alahani gatzmoi. People who lack intelligence, they don't know how to care for themselves. Ha'asur biyad oivoy. A person who is in his enemy's hand. Umishapokad toivor rabba. A person who suffered a great loss. Vamitzchoret alav einoisav. And a person who regrets his sins, and a person who weeps over his sins because he's scared of Hashem's punishment. There's a lot of different points that he threw in here. Each of them really deserve some of their own attention. So first of all, the simple ones. Needy people. It's a place for rachamim. Meaning that Hashem wants us not only to help them, but actually to feel what they're feeling. This is part of being a shalim, an ish shalim. We'll just end this with a short anecdote. We're in the middle of the subject. Well, let's end it with a short anecdote about, this was about Rabbi Chaim Meisel. He was a legendary Rav of Lodz. And he one time went around making a collection to some of the poor of the city. It was a freezing Polish night. And he came to the home of one of the big, wealthy philanthropists in the town, knocked on the door, servant answered the door. Who are you? The rabbi, Eliyachim Meisel. I want to see the Baal HaBayit. Went and told the Baal HaBayit. The Baal HaBayit said, of course, bring him in. But Eliyachim didn't come in. The Baal HaBayit was waiting in his study, and he's not coming in, so he went to the door to see what's going on. He came to the door, and Rabbi Eliyachim, standing at the door, started telling him about this family that he's collecting for that doesn't have money for food and doesn't have money for heating, and it's many children, etc. And he's listening. He says, okay, come. He had immense respect for the Rav. Come, let's sit down. We'll talk about it. Rabbi Eliyachim just kept on going on and on and on. Now, this person had come to the door in shirt sleeves, the freezing night outside. He wasn't prepared to be standing at the door for 20 minutes. He's really starting to get uncomfortable, and Rabbi Eliyachim is standing there wrapped in a fur coat. Rabbi Eliyachim is going on and on and on, and he's really starting to shiver. And he says, come in, Rebbe, we'll sit down. Of course I'm going to give. Rabbi Eliyachim just keeps going. After a few minutes, the guy is momish, like this. And he says, Rebbe, I just can't stand here. I can't stand here anymore. We must go in. I can't continue the conversation. So Rabbi Eliyachim said, oh, okay, that's what I wanted. If we're going to go into your heated study and discuss about a family that has no heating, you'll think to yourself, all right, how bad could it be already? You couldn't handle it for 20 minutes, right? Now let's talk about that family. This is the nekuda. Hashem wants us to sense what they're feeling. This is part of the halicha b'drachav. Hashem hurts when a Jew is hurting, and he wants us to reflect him in that way also. Okay. Stop here.